It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
To Hart on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
House the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner.
PJ Tucker.
Doors by Golden Bridge.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show at Locked On Rockets, and also the blog at ClutchCityCR. Now for today's show, we got a handful of topics to get to: the Rockets head coaching search, the fact that Ty Lue is here in Houston, the fact that JVG is probably on his way to Houston, the end of the season, the Lakers win a title, LeBron James gets his fourth. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. I also want to do a bit of a primer on Eric Gordon, not quite his season in review episode just yet, but just a bit of a primer on Eric Gordon, and we'll get there in the third segment. But first things first is, I want to apologize. I missed a couple episodes, and I've been having some health challenges personally. Some of you that follow me on Twitter may or may not know that I'm a type 1 diabetic, and sometimes, occasionally, if even when managed well, diabetes can sometimes get the better of you. And so I've been a little out of sorts the past few days. Friday was tough for me. That's kind of where it started, and that kind of overlined with my day-to-day work schedule over the weekend. And then, just wasn't quite able to get a grip on things. So, but I'm good. I'm right as rain now. And I'm back here for our episode because we got a lot to talk about. There's been a lot going on, a lot of moving parts, a lot of moving pieces. So first things first, let's dive into the Rockets coaching search, because that's the thing that's, at the forefront of everybody's mind is what's going on there, right? And so most recently, Ty Lue landed in Houston, and who else but Mark Berman, Fox 26 Mark Berman, shows up at the airport to hound him for some questions. So before I start sharing my thoughts and opinions on things, I want to run back the audio that Mark Berman, that kind of the airport interview that Mark Berman is so known for. And it's going to be a little choppy because Mark didn't include his own questions in the audio, and I'm not going to sit here and repeat his question. So basically, he's asking Lou about things like his experience working with superstars, what he wants to accomplish, with his interview here in Houston, what it would mean to coach here in Houston, things like that. So I'm going to, I kind of splice together the five different clips. So it might sound a little clunky. It's not, my proudest edit, but I still want you to be able to hear it before we talk about it. So let's dive straight into that.
Oh, it means a lot. Just having an opportunity to come in and interview for a head coaching job here in Houston. It was very exciting. I'm very happy to be here. Having a chance to, an opportunity to have a chance to coach two MVP players in Russell Westbrook and James Harden, along with Gordon and a lot of other good players. So I'm excited to be here and just happy for the opportunity. It helps a lot, just having a chance to play with Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal and be able to coach LeBron and Kevin Garnett and guys like that. So I've been around. I understand what it looks like, what it's supposed to look like. And so I know what it takes to coach stars and be around stars. So having that in my back pocket is good for me. Just who I am as a person, as a coach, how I'm able to hold guys accountable but still get the best out of guys, and getting the best out of guys, letting guys play free and put them in position to be successful. So that's what I wanted to get my point across. It feels good to be in high demand. Feels even better to sign. So, it's good. It's been a good experience for me. It's great to be on a lot of people's radar. So I just want to make the most of it and take advantage of it. Well, it just helps because I've seen those guys play. Seeing Russell play and James play, and not to leave out the other guys who play as well. But just being around two superstars, two guys who've been been MVPs of the league, and just being around them, seeing them play, and knowing that you can help in a lot of different ways. So I just want to be part of that.
Once again, that was Ty Lue, courtesy of Mark Berman from Fox 26, known for those ambush airport interviews of players and coaches as they are either leaving Houston or coming into Houston, in this case, coming into Houston for his interview. Now, it was later reported that Ty Lue and the Rockets, searching, head coaching searching committee also had dinner and also conducted the interview. So not only did he get an interview, he got dinner. So the Rockets are really kind of, turning on the lights and putting on a show for Ty Lue, really treating him to something special, which kind of shows me that he is one of their top candidates, one of their preferred candidates. Now, obviously it kind of depends on how much he's commanding in the form of a salary, because let's face it, we're in a position where we have to, based on the optics of the organization so far to this point, we have to assume that Tillman Fertitta isn't going to be willing to shell out an extravagant salary for a Rockets head coach. So at that point, depends on kind of what salary Ty Lue is attempting to command, but it sounds like he is very intrigued by this, position as the head coach here in Houston. Some of the ways that he was answering those questions, he almost was answering them as if he was ready to accept the position, right away. He had to correct himself a couple times and say, well, here what I'll do, talking about what he would do and then have to correct himself. Well, what I would do if I was the head coach, that kind of thing. So, and I'm not universally against the idea of Ty Lue as the Rockets head coach. I do still think there's a couple better candidates out there, but he does check the box of somebody that would be able to, in a way, challenge James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Somebody who has that former player experience, somebody who's had experience managing multiple superstars over the course of his career. And that's somebody, that's one of the boxes that you have to check as the next Rockets head coach, is you have to be somebody that can sit down James, that can sit down Russ and say, hey, this has to change. This needs to be different. You guys got to try harder defensively, or you guys can't have these breakdowns in communication offensively. Russ, you're in the wrong spot for this playoff, whatever it may be, right? He might not have the offensive repertoire of, say, like Steven Silas, but he's also got that. He's worked with LeBron James. He's worked with Kyrie. He's worked with Kevin. He's worked with a number of superstars throughout his career. Just most recently, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And he's had experience managing them to the point that is an underrated part of this coaching search for the Rockets. Is you have to manage personalities. You have to manage chemistry, and you have to be the vocal leader of that locker room, because if you lose the locker room, guess what happens? You get canned 11 games into the season like Kevin McHale did. If you lose the locker room, the players suddenly don't trust you, they won't respect you, all these different things. And so whoever comes in as the Rockets head coach has to be somebody that can garner the respect of a veteran locker room right away, not somebody that has to try and prove that they're capable of being the head coach for the team to then buy into whatever scheme he's trying to run. Has to be somebody who can own the locker room from the get-go, and Ty Lue checks that box. He really does. And it kind of sounds like, again, Houston is going out of their way to show him a good time. The other candidate that has yet to interview, that is more than likely going to interview now that his time in the bubble is over, is former Rockets head coach Jeff Van Gundy. And I want to talk about him in just a second after a quick message from our friends over at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, whereas RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're always reliably low. They always offer the lowest possible prices rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, kind of like what airlines do. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet. So whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure, this is the super duper important part, right? Don't forget this one. Be sure to write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Quick message from our friends over at Built Go. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Go every day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. They're in these little easy-to-take-with-you, 1.5-ounce packages. You can toss it in your briefcase for the most laser-point-focused presentation ever, throw it in your golf bag to power through the back nine, or just keep it in your pocket just to help you get throughout the day. I mean, you know, it's basically 5-hour energy without that same crashing feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like drinking a Monster with a third of the caffeine and better results. And they have three delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, chocolate mint. I'm really partial to the peanut butter honey one. I cannot get enough of it. And you can check it out. Just go to builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your very next order. So again, that's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. And we're back here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Getting ready to talk about former Rockets head coach Jeff Van Gundy. But before I dive into JVG, really quickly, it was reported also that you know, Ty Lue met with Rockets brass and, you know, he had dinner with them, all that good stuff. And apparently Tillman Fertitta was involved in that conversation. So, and it's been reported that Tillman Fertitta has been involved in the head coaching interviews to this point. So what that means is that, you know, because I've been kind of critical about the Rockets and how they've been a bit slower, a bit more methodical with their head coaching search this time around. And to me, what this means is that they're not going to have to do a second wave of interviews. Because, right, normally what you do is Daryl Morey conducts the interviews and then, you know, meets with all the candidates, picks his top two or three, and then they all get flown back out, and then they have the interview with the owner, right, trying to figure out the direction for the franchise. He gets to meet him, all that good stuff. No. This time around, it sounds like Tillman Fertitta has been involved in all the interviews to this point. And what that means is that they're not going to have to do a second round of interviews. They're going to sit down in-house, decide who their favorites are, and make the decision more than likely, and then just reach out to the candidate and say, hey, you got the job. So that's a bonus because it kind of saves time, the fact that he's been involved in the interviews to this point. It's also kind of a double-edged sword because we've seen some of the decisions that have been kind of the Tillman Fertitta decisions, you know, quote-unquote, versus the Daryl Morey-style decisions. And obviously the biggest one of those being the fact that Tillman Fertitta jumped in at the last moment to really pull the trigger on the Russell Westbrook for Chris Paul trade last July. And so, well, not last July, I apologize. Everything's messed up. July 2019, there we go. And so what that means is if Daryl is trying to do his due diligence and really favors a specific candidate, Tillman Fertitta is the owner of the Rockets and will have the final say-so. So Daryl can make all the suggestions he wants. He can plot out all the data points he wants for why X coach would be better than Y coach. But at the end of the day, Tillman Fertitta is going to pick who he wants. And I feel like the way things are being reported and the way that we've seen things play out so far, it sounds like Ty Lue and Jeff Van Gundy are really at the top of the Rockets' pecking order as far as who they want for the next head coach. And that kind of makes sense. JVG strikes me as a Tillman Fertitta pick, right? He's a former Rockets head coach. He's a Houston guy. He's a name hire. So is Ty Lue. You know, they're flashy names. It's just like the Russell Westbrook trade. You know, Chris Paul was aging at the time. It looked like he might not have enough left in the tank for another, you know, run it back year with the Rockets. They pulled the trigger on the trade. Bring in Russell Westbrook, the exciting, athletic, chaotic Russell Westbrook, right? Bring in that splash. Find that 5%, right? And that's kind of what I feel like, you know, Tillman is looking at Ty Lue and Jeff Van Gundy as is kind of a flashier name hire, not necessarily what they would bring to the table from an X's and O's standpoint. Now, I do still think they're both great coaches in their own right, but and JVD is interesting to me because if you bring in a guy, again, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, a James Harden, Russell Westbrook led team, their floor is probably top five offensively, maybe top seven at worst. So if you bring in Jeff Van Gundy, a guy who is not known for his offensive repertoire whatsoever, but is going to be a dog defensively when it comes to that side of the basketball, that's where the Rockets need the most help. And so if JVG, and you know, I think the worst argument against JVG is that he hasn't coached in ages. His last head coaching position was with the Houston Rockets. He's been involved with USA Basketball, but does that really count? I mean, it's not like it's not marks against him, but the fact that he hasn't coached in the NBA in, you know, upwards of all, you know, over a decade doesn't exactly do him any favors. Whereas Ty Lue does have recent experience with superstars, has, you know, the championship under his belt from his stint with the Cavaliers. That's a pretty solid resume. But those two guys, it sounds like, are kind of at the forefront of Houston's head coaching search. And it does sound like, because Tillman Fertitta is involved in these interviews, I would imagine they're going to make a decision sometime here soon. Because it sounds like the only people that have that are left to interview would be Rockets head of player development, John Lucas, and then Jeff Van Gundy, since he just now left the bubble. So with those two guys remaining, there's not really any other coaching candidates that are out there that are on the Rockets' radar for them to interview. They've interviewed everybody else. So I would imagine we're going to get a decision on the Rockets' head coaching vacancy sometime in the next, I'd say, 2 weeks-ish is what I'm ballparking. I'd say about 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, and we're going to have a decision for the next Rockets' head coach. So that kind of ends my Rockets head coaching update and thoughts and all that good stuff. And I want to get into, really quickly, the Lakers winning the NBA title. And I know this is going to be a sore spot for a lot of listeners because, hey, right, Rockets got bounced by the Lakers. It's not a great feeling. But hey, first things first, right, at least the Rockets don't lose to bad teams in the playoffs, right? Of all the times that the Rockets have been eliminated from the playoffs throughout the James Harden era, they've been eliminated by excellent teams, and for the most part, they've never been eliminated by a team where they were favored. They've always been eliminated by teams that were over them. At least, you know, going into the playoffs, people, you know, the Rockets have been the underdogs in all the matchups where they've been eliminated, and this past season is no different. They were absolutely the underdogs against the LA Lakers. And hey, maybe if a few things break a little bit differently, it's a slightly more competitive series. Maybe if there's, you know, if Russ wasn't, you know, as abominable as he was in game two, or if Daniel House was actually there for the final three games of the series, all sorts of different things could have broken differently. And maybe the Rockets push it to six or push it to seven even and get a little bit more respect on their name for pushing the potentially at that point, the eventual, you know, champion Lakers to seven games. And then when they did secure the title, people could look at the Rockets and be like, oh, well, hey, they actually did a pretty damn good job against that LA team. It's basically the Warriors all over again. But no, they got bounced in five, and it was, kind of embarrassing, honestly. So that being said, it's important to just look, and I get it, you don't have to root for the Lakers, you don't have to root for opposing fan bases, but it's important to just recognize great basketball when we're seeing it, right? And the fact that LeBron James now has his fourth title, third final MVP, you know, or third different final MVP with a third different team, it's just incredible. You know, the fact that he's done this, you know, at this late in the game in his career, and that it doesn't seem like he's got any signs of dropping off anytime soon. You know, it's really just, it's impressive, and it's going to spark up a lot of the GOAT debates. And I'm not here for the GOAT debates. I think that you can argue longevity versus peak. You can argue actual championships, accolades, whatever, you can argue advanced stat, whatever you want to argue, right? I'm not here for it. Michael Jordan and LeBron James are the two best players that we've ever seen play the game of basketball. And I think that's where I'm going to leave it. I'm not even going to jump out here and start saying, oh, well, this guy over this guy. No, I'm not going to do that. It's just important to appreciate the greatness that we've had from LeBron James for the you know, almost two decades that he's been in the league. He has been this driving force. He's lived up to every ounce of hype that, you know, he had coming out of high school. He has had a spotlight on him his entire career. And you can hate the guy. You can say that he ruined the game by, you know, tampering and, you know, running off to my, whatever you want to say about him, right? But you can't deny the fact that he's one of the greatest players to ever do it. And the game of basketball is going to, the game of NBA basketball is going to be less, it's going to be less entertaining when he leaves. Last year's playoffs were less entertaining because LeBron wasn't in them, right? Tuning in to watch LeBron dominate throughout the playoffs has been a yearly ritual for many NBA fans. Even if you're not a LeBron fan, just tuning in to see what his team is doing in the playoffs has been a great part of many people's lives forever now. So I just want to get that message out there that, hey, if you're a hater, great. You can still hate on LeBron all you want, right? I do my fair share of hating on LeBron. But at the same time, it's still important to recognize that he is a phenomenal player. And it's incredible as all hell that he just picked up his fourth title. And everything is right in the world again, because now LeBron James has more titles than Steph Curry. So that's where I'm going to sign that segment off at. Now, coming up in just a moment, I want to do my little Eric Gordon primer. It's not a breakdown of his season or anything, but it's just a quick couple thoughts that I want to throw out about Eric Gordon, and we'll get there in just one moment. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Let's talk about Eric Gordon. Now, we've done a lot of talking about Eric Gordon already, a lot of hypothetical trades centered around Eric Gordon, and I find it interesting because the other day, Nate Duncan and John Hollinger said that Eric Gordon was essentially untradeable, that his contract extension, $55 million over the next 3 years guaranteed, is probably the most one of the most untradeable contracts out there. And as much as the Rockets would like to use it to, you know, get to duck the tax more than likely, or to add another impact player, that it was probably not going to happen. Now, I find that really interesting because, frankly, Eric Gordon did have a down year, yes, but he has been a productive member of this Rockets team for a handful of seasons now, and ultimately, I do think that we may have overblown how much he struggled this past season. Now, I say that a little bit with kind of a caveat. Basically, Eric Gordon is more than capable of being the third best player on a championship caliber team. He is. But he's been forced into positions where he's been the second best player on a championship caliber team. And frankly, that's not going to cut the mustard. He can be your third banana behind James Harden and Chris Paul. He can be the third banana behind James Harden and Russell Westbrook. But the issue is the Rockets are at a point where with this current roster construction, the only way for them to bring in another impact player is by utilizing the salary of Eric Gordon and also what he contributes to a basketball team, to a potential suitor, to a new home, what he brings to the table, and flipping that, trading him for another impact player that can help shore up some of the deficiencies in the current lineup. Because that's it. Because at the end of the day, James Harden and Russell Westbrook are your two primary guards. And they're two very extremely ball-dominant guards. And then you can run Eric Gordon at the three spot along those two guys, but there's some negatives when you do that. You give up a lot of height. You give up some athleticism. You take away what he is good, because Eric Gordon needs the ball in his hands. When he's relegated to a spot-up shooter role, you know, at that point, you could just plug in Ben McLemore and have a better player at your disposal if that's all they're doing. If all the player is doing in that Eric Gordon role next to Harden and Russ is spot-up shooting, then just plug in Ben McLemore and call it a day. So Eric Gordon's toolkit is a little bit redundant when you have James Harden and Russell Westbrook ahead of him in the lineup. Now, this past playoffs, Eric Gordon at stretches was the second Rocket, was the Rockets' second best player. So I don't think it's fair to Eric Gordon to say that he needs to be moved because he's a bad player or because he's on a bad contract. I think that his contract is appropriate for being the, you know, a potentially third best player on a championship caliber team. I think that his production did take a dip this year. His 3-point shooting was an issue all season long, even well into the playoffs, and he had a couple games where he had, you know, a decent shooting night here and there, but the consistency was the biggest issue because he wasn't consistent, you know, enough in his production, especially behind the arc, to where there were games where he was just killing the Rockets, where he was shooting them out of games, and you can't do that when you're a guy who shoots the volume of three-pointers that he is. He's averaged more than 8 attempts per game from behind the arc in all 4 of his seasons here in Houston. So I do think that if the Rockets were to run it back and still have EG as a part of the team, it's not the worst thing in the world, but for them to find any sense of improvement, any inkling of improvement to make this roster better, to kind of round things out, to bring in a potential center, you know, we talk about the hypothetical Miles Turner trades, all that stuff, they have to move EG to do it. So that doesn't mean that EG is a bad player. That doesn't mean that EG is washed, none of this stuff. He had a down year with the Rockets, absolutely. But I also don't agree with the fact that his contract is untradeable. I just don't, because he's proven that he can be that third best player on a potential contender. He has the adequate toolkit to be a really great player in the right system, and the Rockets system has shown that. And he can still be the third best player for this Houston Rockets team. It's just a bit redundant when you have the two guards that are ahead of him in the lineup. So that's just kind of where I'm at on EG. I do think that he does. He has to be traded. That's basically where I'm at. Is he has to be traded, but not because he is detrimental to the Rockets or not because he's not a good player, but because he is the only piece, along with Daniel House Jr., that can be moved to move the needle for the team. And the Rockets, they might even take a loss on an EG trade. They might not get back equivalent value, but at the end of the day, when it comes down to the playoffs, Russ and Harden are going to play those 36 to 42 minutes a night. And where are you going to get EG his time? Because you're not going to get him his time at the guard spot. And if you're running him at the small forward spot, you're running a smaller lineup where you're running three guards. You're giving up a lot of size, a lot of height. You may be giving up something a bit defensively depending on who he's matched up with. But it just remains, and again, I brought all this up because of the comment from Duncan and Hollinger about him being untradeable, because at the end of the day, I don't really think there's any untradeable contract in the NBA. Maybe like John Wall, right? Because he's been injured for, you know, God knows how long and hasn't even stepped foot on a basketball court. So maybe like a John Wall contract is untradeable, but people were saying the Chris Paul contract was untradeable. You know, people were saying the Russell Westbrook contract is untradeable, and look at that, boom, they switched, right? So no contract in the NBA is untradeable. It just depends on how much of a loss you're willing to take on said contract, or in the Rockets case, how creative their general manager and Daryl Morey can get when it comes to, okay, we're going to flip this piece for these pieces and then flip these pieces for this piece, whatever. He's got, you know, he's a bit strapped with assets, right? Doesn't have the first round draft picks. Doesn't really have a lot of sweetener to throw in that deal besides Daniel House. But if there's anybody that can get something done with a package of Eric Gordon and Daniel House Jr. and come away with the Rockets being an improved ball club, I'm sure Daryl Morey will find it. I'm sure that he's capable of doing it. And if I had to, the smart money would be put on Eric Gordon not being a Rocket at the start of next season. So I think that's where we're going to wrap things up for. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll have Eric Gordon's player review capsule, his season in review, coming up next episode. So you don't want to miss that. But as always, thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.